it's unclear as to what exactly the role of Gufo Shel Pesach is. And I'm sure that it's subject to many different interpretations. But I'm going to focus upon the Netziv's interpretation. The Netziv, it's both in his Haggadah Imre Shefer, it's a beautiful Haggadah, and in the Perush on Chumash as well, touches this, that we have an addition to the Haggadah, which is agreed upon, was obviously an addition in the Golus, in Bovel, of Holachman. That's the reason it stands out, that this piece was included in the Golus. That's why it's in Aramaic, whereas the rest of the Haggadah, we're not talking the Piyutim at the end, which are altogether much later editions, but we're talking about the heart of the Haggadah itself is in a very pure Lashon Kodesh. So why is Holach Ma'anya in Aramaic? Because it was added in Bovel, and it reflects the language that, as the Rambam says, the people were not fluent in Lashon HaKodesh in Bovel. Rambam writes in the beginning of Hilchos Tefillah. So why is it Holach Ma'anya the Acholo Abasot Ba'adam? The first statement we make about Matzah is Lechem Oini. The Tzib says, why is this the statement of Golos? He says the following, that we have many, many references to Matzah in the Torah. There's only one reference which mentions Lechem Oini. Lo'soichad olav chometz, shivas yomim toichad olav matzahs Lechem Oini. Parshas Rei. I'll come back to it in the Shabbos HaGodol Drosh. I'm going to come back to this pasuk again and to the Netziv's other aspects of the Netziv's interpretation of this pasuk for other reasons. So the Netziv says, is matzah lechem oini? Is it not lechem oini? So he says it depends. You would describe it as lechem oini if you have just a simple piece of flour and water, unrisen, that's about as humble as it gets. But he says it's only lechem oini, and he brings based on a tesis in Kotchim. He endeavors to establish this point, that if you eat matzah together with the Korban Pesach, whether it's simultaneous or side by side with the Korban Pesach, then it's kederach shavalocha meisim, then it's a matter in a manner of chashivas, of significance. Only if it's eaten by itself is it lechem oini. This is matzah plays different roles, as we know. Matzah focuses on the chayrus. When did they eat matzah? In the Torah we find they ate matzah, but the Korban Pesach, that's when we find that they ate matzah. So, that's one aspect. Matzah by itself, I mean the Arbi Shainim that suggests that matzah was the lechem of Avodim, but that we don't find explicitly in the text anyplace. But there are those of Shainim that suggest that this was the Meichel that they gave to Avodim. Why? You want to fill them up and you don't want it to be too quick to be digested. So matzah fits the bill very well. So they learn that that was the lechem of Avodah. So it depends. What's our take on matzah on the Seder? He says, when we have the Beis HaMikdash and we have a Korban Pesach, so the Iker is the Korban Pesach. The matzah is pushed to the side. And the recitation of the Haggadah, he learns, revolves around the Korban Pesach. That plays the role that the matzah plays by us. The Korban Pesach plays when there's a Korban Pesach. Absent the Korban Pesach, so then we come to the situation of Lechem Oini, that the matzah plays the central role. But matzah is in a very different role. Matzah, when there is a Beis HaMikdash, is not Lechem Oini. The Lechem Oini is when there's no Beis HaMikdash, when it's matzah by itself. So in the Golus, we experience Lechem Oini. This is not that celebration of freedom. that we sat down at the Korban Pesach, and we were going out of Mitzrayim to celebrate the freedom from Mitzrayim as we left Mitzrayim. This is the Lech of Oili. So, the Mishnah is at different levels. For us, have you all the part of Matzah? And the absence of the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishnah of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, is after the Korban Beis HaMikdash. And it's Lechem Ayinu. There's no Korban Pesach. The central focus of the Seder is the Matzah. That's the symbol of the Seder. Uva Migdash, when the Matzah Beis HaMikdash, revealed in front of Gufo Shal Pesach, the essence, the Iker, was the Korban Pesach. An entirely different notion. So what comes out?
What about
Rabbi Gamliel?
Nobody
said that. We had matzah. We didn't say we didn't have the matzah. But the central focus of the Seder was the Korban Pesach. That's the main role. Now, in the Nusach HaTfilo, that we have, we need to ask ourselves a very simple question. We have brochas, for example, which ask for the restoration of Yerushalayim. What were they mispalo when there was a Beis HaMikdash? Now, the Shmoneh Esrei was formulated in between Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni, the Rambam says. Because when Anshe Knesset HaGdola observed the fact that the people did not have appropriate facility in Lashon Kodesh, and to speak, as we would call it, a yeshivish fashion, you know, a little English, a little Yiddish, a little Hebrew, before the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, is a krisus hakavod, is degrading. So therefore, Anshe Knesset HaGdola made a fixed text for the Shemashah. This is the Rambam writes in the first parak of his tefillah. So what text did they make? Oh, good. If it's you see, you have a text that they started off, so that the whole Bayis Sheni, we must polish Shmoneh Esrei of it, in the sense that we have Shmoneh Esrei. So what did they say? What did they say?
Maybe because it wasn't the same level.
In Nusach Eretz Yisrael, it's interesting, we have certain remnants that remain of Nusach Eretz Yisrael. Nusach Eretz Yisrael was lost for a very long time. It was been rediscovered probably in the last century or so in the Geniz and Cairo. They rediscovered Nusach Eretz Yisrael. So it explains some of the very strange things that we do. On Yontif, when we have the Birchas Kayanim, why they chose to do this, we could speculate and give whatever answers we want. But when we have the Birchas Kohenim, we take out a Machzor Shechinos HaLitzion, and we have Sh'ois Cholavad Chavir on Avid. So the Vilna Goyim did not like this substitution, and in Nusach Agro, they have a Machzor Shechinos HaLitzion. There, so if you go to Eretz Yisrael, where the Nusach Agro prevails, so they don't have Sh'ois Cholavad Chavir on Avid. And because of that also, in V'Seyorim L'Fanecha, they switched the last two sentences around. We end B'Shom Navod Chav Yirah Ki Me'olam Achshonim Kadmoni Yais, which is a perfect lead-in to V'Shom Ois Chol Levad Chav Yirah Navod. The Groh switches those two lines. He puts B'Shom Navod Chav and then V'Sech Zena, because the Chsima, according to him, is a Machzor Shechinos HaLitzion. So you need Ma'ein Chasima, Samoch LeChasima. The phrase immediately preceding the closure has to be the lead into the closure. So where did this Nusach Sh'ois Chol Levad Chav Yirah Navod, where did it come from? Right? If you would have asked this question 200 years ago, I don't know, maybe the Vilna Goyim probably figured out the answer, I imagine. But you'd ask most others in Klal Yisrael, we'd scratch our heads, where did this come from? Now we also have another thing that we do, which we don't do in this shul, because in this shul it happens to be in this prat we follow the Nusach HaGro, because the yeshivas and chutz la'aretz follow Nusach HaGro on this, whereas the yeshivas and chutz la'aretz don't follow Nusach HaGro on Yontif. They use Sh'ois Cholavad Chav Yirah Navod, it is the, even in the yeshivas that follow where the groin had grown, the groin has tremendous impact because the yeshiva stemmed from Volozhin. But in the yeshivas in Chutz Lorot, it's annoying to say Shoyes Cholavat Chabir on Avot. But when we come in a service, you make tshuva. So you go into most shuls, Ashkenazic shuls. What's the chesima of the bracha? Oysa HaShalom. Right? In this shul, we follow Nusach HaGro, Mavorach HaSama Yisrael HaShalom. Where did this Nusach Oysa HaShalom come from? It's also part of Nusach Eretz Yisrael. So, Nusach Eretz Yisrael also had Sach HaKol 18 brachas. They did not have 19 brachas. They put two brachas in the Yerushalayim and Estzemach, those two brachas were folded together. And that's why, for example, in the Kravitz for Purim, which is a Piyot, there's no Piyot. There's only one Piyot for Yerushalayim and Estzemach. Because the Kalir was in Eretz Yisrael. And in Nusach Eretz Yisrael, they were stuck with 18 brachas. They combined those two. So Shaos Cholavad Chabir and Avot. So they, who else talks about it? Rabbi Yehuda talks about it someplace. They were mispalo that the Mikdash should endure. Now we didn't have to ask for the restoration of the Mikdash. So now look, we have the following. When we're in Golus, what do we say? Amachzor Shchinos Avitzion. When we lived in Eretz Yisrael, we said Shaos Cholavad Chabir and Avot. In Eretz Yisrael, we celebrated the Seder with the Korban Pesach. Triumph. 850 years we lived in Eretz Yisrael. Until the Korban of the Bayis Rishon. 850 years. Right? What Malucha in the world today stands for 850 years? The British are close, but I don't think they're not quite there yet. The British are close, right? Since the Magna Carta or whatever, they're getting close. But they're not quite there yet. Be'erach, I don't remember exactly the years, but there's no other Malucha in the world that stands for so long today. There's no other Malucha in the world that's standing for so long. 850 years. So we gathered, we thanked the Rabbeinu Shalom for our sovereignty, for our freedom, for everything that the Rabbeinu Shalom gave us. So what was that tefillah? To celebrate Shechina, the presence of Shechina, Sha'os Cholavad Chabir and Avod, in effect. That what's our whole, we asked in the Rabbeinu Shalom, that we should be Zoicha, that our whole Avodah should be Sha'os Cholavad Chabir and Avod. Avodah Zorah shouldn't creep in. Foreign notions shouldn't creep into this. We should remain attached to the Rabbeinu Shalom and not be swayed by the foreign notions. And this was mitoch an appreciation of the chesed of the Rabbeinu Shalom. In triumph. When we're in the Golus, then we have a different statement to make. And I'm not sure when this entered into the Haggadah, if this is part of the original text of the Haggadah, or it's also a later edition. And that's the Vehisha Omda. Vehisha Omda suggests itself that this is also a later edition into the Haggadah. I'm not sure. I have not researched the matter, but upon thinking about it, it strikes me that this is a later addition to it. That what's our Seder today? It's Lechem Ayini, we're in Golos. There's no two ways about it. And we suffer the vicissitudes of Golos. But we have Bitochon in the Rabbeinu Shalom. Hashata ha'och, Shona ha'bo b'arad Yisrael. Hashata avdei, l'shona ha'bo b'necher. Irrespective of what the circumstances around us presently are, but our machzor shchinos letzion. Coming back. Take shorter or take longer, it doesn't make a difference. But we're steadfast. We're steadfast. We're returning to the Shechina. We're returning to the Rabbeinu Shemayim. Is there another people in the world that could have that? Nobody could have such a Muna. Our people that 1900 years after they threw us out, we came back. We said, the revenge was going to bring us back. We're coming back there, it's just wrong. We're not all the way back, but we're returning. To say there is that statement of Amach Shechinos HaLetzia. That's the Seder in the Golos. And we find that's a theme that expresses itself in different ways in the Seder. In the Baruch Asher Galonu V'Galus Avoseinu, Kein Yagiyenu L'Ragolim Amodim Acher, Smeichem B'Vinyan Erecha, right? That's, we're good. This Seder is Sof Koso only a Zeicha. You know? The Matzah is for real. The Mor, the Korban Pesach doesn't exist at all. But, Ken Yagienu, Lamadim, Lurgolim, Acher, Smeicha B'Vinyan Erecha. This, we're going to go past this stage. There's going to be another stage after this. That we're going to celebrate together with the Rabbeinu Shalom and the Migdash. Simcha that's eternal. And what is the theme? It's important to know, to understand the structure of the Haggadah. The Birchas Hamazon is a watershed. There's a transition in the Seder, almost unnoticed, but there's a transition. The first day of the Seder is what? Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, what happened. The second day of the Seder is a combination of two things. Is Haidot to the Rabbeinu Shalom for that, and secondly, side by side with it, the expression of our faith of Nisna Sidon Ligo. Shvoich Hamos Chol Agoyim Asher Lo Yadoucha Bar Mamlochis Asher B'Shim Chol Ikaro Lishon Abor Yerushalayim Adir Hu Yivne Beis of Korach. We're in Chutz La'aretz now, that's true. We still have a daughter, the Rabbeinu Shalom. And we are absolute confidence that we'll celebrate it in the Migdash with the Rabbeinu Shalom. The first day of the Seder is the past. The second day of the Seder, we go into the Gula Asida. B'nisun nigalu, or b'nisun asidun ligo. Arba Kaisis has two different dimensions to it, we find in the Rishayim. There's a dimension which is retrospective. Rotesi, v'talti, v'dalti, v'lokachti, what happened. It's Merameh, it said, Oster HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to give four Kaisis a Tarelov, Klolo, to those that oppressed Klal Yisrael with history. And they bring sources for that to the Rishayim. So the Arba Kaisis cuts both ways. The Arba Kaisis is reminiscent of the past, but it ties us to the future too. So that's the Seder. The Seder is, this is Lechem Ayini now. But that's also a transition. Something else is going to come after this. The absolute faith that we have in the Rabbeinu Shalom. And I believe that's the transcendent aspect of Pesach. Why more so than any other celebration that we have in the entire year. It also captured the imagination of Klal Yisrael. Because it's a perspective on all of Jewish history. I've mentioned other things in the past, and it's so true. Leza Pachinsky, Zecher Tzadik L'Vorach, shared with us that in Litta, he said, what was the best tip you could give the postman at this time of the year? It was a piece of matzah. So he gave him a piece of matzah. a little bit he bit for himself. Remember, he took off his hat and he tucked it inside his cap and he brought the rest home for his family. They saw the exalted state of Klal Yisrael and this Yontif was of a different sphere. They wanted to touch, at least touch this Yontif. This is the ultimate, I think, experience of Klal Yisrael in the time of the absence of the Mikdash, is the celebration of Pesach. The notion of the kashrus of Pesach is really parallel to this too. So saying everything that is in a certain regard insignificant as compared to what can be and what will be. Just stop to think for a moment. What do we say when Pesach comes? When Pesach comes, we say, listen, I moved out of my house. I bought the house from my Italian neighbor next door. And out of place, from stem to stern, it's treif. I'd have to make it kosher. That's what we say. Right? My kitchen is kosher. All of a sudden, Pesach comes. The dishes are treif. The silverware is treif. The glasses are treif. The stove is treif. The oven is treif. The sink is treif. It's all treif. Why? To tell us that there are new possibilities. Whatever's been until now, it's true. But compared to what will be, it's nothing at all. It's a totally different sphere we're entering. And therefore, you see, our entire Avodah, it was kosher for the whole year. When it comes to Pesach, there's a different meaning to kosher. There's a different level, a different service of the Rebbeinu Shabbat. Different mitzvahs. We embrace the new possibilities. Pass. It's paltry as compared to what will be. It's an amazing thing. It's the Yontif of Pesach. I wanted to look a little bit at the halachas, besides a little look at the Haggadah in Pesach itself. We have in Pesach a most unusual of Isur. The fact that we can't eat chametz, we have a lot of things in the Torah we can't eat. I want to go home and eat a lobster. We can't eat a lobster either. Not that I have any, believe me, I have no desire. But I don't think the goyim are stupid, so I imagine a lobster must taste good. You know, they say it tastes good. I believe them, but I have no cheshit to eat. It doesn't concern me. So we have a lot of things that the Torah tells us. They exist. People avail themselves of them, and they're not for us. Okay, fine. I understand. We have things that are also v'hanotu. So Basar B'Cholov is Osir Bano. When you cook Basar B'Cholov, not only is it Osir B'Achila, right? There's Losav Asher, Gedim, Chalavim, three times in the Torah. One is to tell us it's an Isra Hanot. So we have Isra Hanot to save. But where in all the roster of Acholos Asuras do we find Bal Yiro, Bal Yimotze? Can't have it in my house. I went to business, I lent the guy $100,000, and he went bankrupt. Happens to be, he was in the sausage business. So I'll be din, I'm allowed to collect. I'm not allowed to do business with treif, tarfus, that's true. But if he goes out of business and that's all I have to collect, I'm allowed to collect it as a debt. So I collected it. Toif. So could I keep it in my warehouse? Yeah, I can keep it in my warehouse until I'll find some suitable non-Jewish company that's interested in $100,000 in sausages, and it's mine. And then they'll pay me. It's both butter b'hanor, and there's no issur in possessing it. Not allowed to do business with it, but that's something else, different. But in this regard, we'd be even allowed to be able to take possession of it in this case. But that I'm not allowed to have it in my possession? In all the whole machalos asuras, there is no such thing. That I can't possess it? What? Oh, that's not in machalos asuras.
What if?
It doesn't touch.
About something from
here. It's not an Isra of Macholos Asuras. Right? Avodah Zorah, it's true about. It's true on Avodah Zorah. And Avodah Zorah I may not possess. Okay, something else. Good. Normally we say Isra HaNoah, you're supposed to get rid of. Okay, fine. But no Isra. Look, it's Menanik Borim. There's no Isra. They're not even alive if you don't. Either you have to burn them or bury them, so nobody should be nichshel in them. Fine, okay, well that's, there's no lav if you don't do it. You don't violate a lav in the Torah. Avodah Zorah doesn't have to do with macholos asuras. It could touch, but it's not a din of macholos asuras. If there's a chair which was used as part of an Avodah Zorah, and there was no bittul on it, so the chair is also bano. Right. I want to take a fixture which is used in a house of Avodah Zorah and buy it. It's Osir Bano. It's Noy Avodah Zorah. It's Osir Bano. So there we find the halacha that you may not possess Avodah Zorah. To rid myself of it. To get rid of it. You mavire it. There we find it. You bring it to the Yam HaMelech and throw it in. Yeah, we found it. But so what's the pshat? Rameya Simcha writes the following in Chumash that based on a Rishalmi, he writes that chametz was an integral part of the worship of Avodah Zorah. And it expressed in whatever philosophical means, the Rishonim is not going to tell us to go into it in detail what their philosophy was, but it was a means of their expression of their belief in a multiplicity of deities against Hashem Echad. So Matzah then is when the Rosh Hashanah banned chametz and told us to engage in matzah was to take a step away from Avodah Zorah. So the Korban Pesach was a bittul of Avodah Zorah because that was the Avodah Zorah of Mitzrayim, and the matzah was a bittul of Avodah Zorah too. And interestingly, we find Chumash Vayikra, Yichol Sor V'chol Dvash Lo Satir M'meno Yishel Hashem. Chametz may never be brought as a korban on the Mizbeach. Never. They are good. We have lachmei toida that are chametz. They're not nikrav on the mizbeach. We have the shtei halechem on Shavuos, but they're also not offered on the mizbeach. On the mizbeach, you can never have chametz, which fits very well, because the karbonos is supposed to bring us away from avodah zorah to the Rabbeinu Shalom. Chametz is part of the avodah of the avodah zorah. So we understand very well then why it is a halacha that we can't possess it. We'll understand why there's a dinion of bittul. Bittul is, by the way, the Zohar is bittul, and by chametz is bittul. The Rambanim for himself draws the parallel. Beyond bittul, Chazal said, so we talked about different possibilities. What's bittul chametz? Bittul chametz is that I renounce the ownership of chametz. I mafker it. It's not mine anymore. A bittul is not a renunciation of ownership in and of itself. Bittul is, I declare it to be insignificant to me, unimportant to me. Now, how would that work? How would that save me from the Yisra by Yiroh by Yimotzei? So the Ramban explains. In actuality, all Yisurei Hano, I don't own. So how could I violate by Yiroh by Yimotzei if I want to? I don't own Chametz on Pesach, it's also Bano. So how could I violate it? I could try all I want, but it's also Bano, so it's not mine. So how do you actually violate the Yisra by Yiroh by Yimotzeh? Because that's why the Gemara says in Psochem that Shnei Dvarim Einam Bereshus HaShem Adam. Two things are not actually owned by a person. And the Rabbeinu Shel Olam has given us responsibility for them as if we own them. What are these two things? One is Bar Rosh Hasharav. You know, I like diggers and looters, and I like to make big holes. So tonight, I'm going out on Main Street, and I'm going to dig up Main Street from one side to the other, and I'm going to dig a ditch 35 feet long. Okay? And across the whole Main Street. So tomorrow, whoever drives down, or in the middle of the night, whoever drives down Main Street, even if you drive a bus down Main Street, you're going into my ditch. Straight in. So now, you know, I'll put up a sign, Doug by, and I'll put up my name. So they'll come and they'll tell me, listen, my bus fell in there, I want you to pay. So I say, why should I pay? Tell me, do I own the streets of New York? No. The municipality owns the streets. So what do you want from me? So your bus got smashed by the municipality, by Bloomberg Street, by Bloomberg Street. So what are you coming to me for? Go bother him. Or go sue the city. They smashed you. What did I do? Yeah, the Torah says I'm chayav for bar versus a rabba. Because once I dig the bar, the Torah considers it as if it's mine. Similarly, the second thing is that Chometz B'Pesach. Really, I don't own it. So how can I violate by your by Yimotzei? So the Torah says, you want to have this Chometz? You want Chometz? Okay, well, consider it as if it's yours. You're responsible for it. It's placed in your responsibility. It's under your authority. So all I have to do, if I declare that I don't want the Chometz, so then it's out of my possession. Torah didn't put it back into my possession against my will. If I say, listen, I have no interest in this chametz. As far as I'm concerned, it's like the dust of the earth. But you know the famous story of the Bedichava. He wanted to start the first night of Pesach. They came to Shul and Bedichava. Rabbi Yitzchak said he's not starting davening. He wants them to run all over town. And they have to bring all over bread. So they ran all over the shtetl, all over Bedichov, and looked and looked and looked. And an hour and a half later, they came back and said, Rebbe, we can't find a crumb. Nobody has. So he says, very good. He went in front of the Aron Kodesh, and he said, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, the Tzar banned the smuggling of tobacco because he wants to charge taxes for it. And yet, he says, he can't go in a town and a village and a train station in all of Russia where you can't buy smuggled tobacco, like the drug plague today. He says the Tsar has thousands of policemen trying to stop it. And if they catch you, they throw you in jail. Right? And then they put you in hard labor. And yet, you can buy as much as you want. You, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, you wrote in the Torah, don't have chametz. You didn't put one policeman out. You don't throw anybody in jail. You don't beat them up. Openly. Right? We don't see the Rabbeinu Shel Olam coming down and arresting anybody. And yet you can't find them one morsel of bread. Because Klal Yisrael are holy people. So if we don't want it, to me it's Yiv. Who wants chametz? Who wants chametz on Pesach? It's insignificant to me. It's junk. Torah doesn't put it into my rishus. Our Bidul Chometz is a hybrid. That's what we have. If you examine the text, Libato, and then it says, Vilhevi Hefker, and it should be ownerless, Ka'afra Diara. What do we need the notion Ka'afra Diara? Now make something Hefker, I don't have to declare it Ka'afra Diara. I don't want to own it, that's all. I don't have to declare it Ka'afra Diara. The answer is because we, as we did in a lot of things in the halacha, we accommodated all sides of the argument. So in the text of the bittul, we put in, listen, what's bittul? Some rishonim say it's bittul to have a hefker after they are. It's not called hefker, it's called bittul. Bittul means to may render it insignificant, like by avodah zarah. I render it in the, if the non-Jew renders his avodah zarah insignificant, it loses its status as avodah zarah, becomes mutar b'ano. So that's bittul. So Rashi holds, the Ramban. Taisma says, no, it's Hefker, renouncing ownership. So that's why we have both. Libato, we'll have a Hefker, God for the Ark. But it's a hybrid of the two Shittas. Now, as I mentioned other times, the Shacharach and Siman Tov Mem Ches tells us that if a person relied solely upon Bittul, he didn't do Mechiras Chametz, and he just relied upon Bittul Chametz, and then he finds Chametz after Pesach, the Chametz is Osir Bano. And that's what we couldn't do, because we don't want a person next year to use it as an excuse that he won't do Bittul either. I don't say he did do Bittul, or perhaps he won't do Bittul B'Lev Sholem. A person has to really mean it. Not always so easy. A person has to be Erlich HaYid to do Bittul. You know, you and I, whatever we have a few dollars of Chametz. How about the guy that owns the brewery? You know, he is a fortune on the line. So where's his Bittul Chametz? Yeah, if he's Erlich HaYid, he's Bavatl Chametz. Won't be Nichshel and Chametz and Pesach just for a dollar. It's Erlich HaYid. Not necessarily is everyone Erlich. Yeah.
That reminds me, if we sold it, what are we Mavato and what are we burning and what are we looking for if we sold it?
Well, there's still will come to that. Bittul, Bedikas Chametz is for another reason. Bedikas Chametz is not in and of itself that we shouldn't violate Bayiro Bayimotze. It's a backup in the sense of the Bittul, that's true. But it has a more profound purpose. As Tosfos writes in the beginning of Masechta Pesachim, we are concerned, let's imagine just for a moment what I have to do with the Raisa. With the Raisa, what I can do is the following. I have this table, okay? I'll put my matzahs down over here, my mor, my kaisis, right? My Pesach, the conditions here. Where Erwin is sitting, I'll leave two loaves of bread, two chalas. Right there. I sold them to a guy. I was mevatel them. They're not mine. Am I over anything? With the rice, I'm at 100% in compliance. But Chazal said this is not going to work. Why? Because sooner or later, somebody in Klal Yisrael is going to wind up eating chametz on Pesach, if it's around. Because we're so used to eating chametz. And I'll wake up tomorrow, I'm 3/4 asleep, it's 5:30 in the morning, and I'll eat a sandwich. And then 2 hours later, I'll go to shul and I remember it's Pesach. You know, it's a thing that we're so used to eating that we're not going to stop and think about it. So Chazal said, so that we shouldn't come to eat it, we have to get rid of or rid ourselves of chametz. Can't have chametz around. That's why even the chametz that we sell to a guy, we lock it up, we put it away behind something, a barrier to keep us away from it. So that's the notion of the Bedikas chametz. The Bedikas chametz is to serve another purpose. So that's why we have to get rid of the chametz, so we shouldn't come to eat it. But with the raisa, once I did bittul, if I sincerely did bittul, I'm fine. Some might say that, listen, with bittul, depending how you learn bittul, but bittul, especially if you learn the way Rashi learned bittul, so then the bittul is a very fine process. If you don't mean it 100%, then it's not going to work. Hefker perhaps works even if you don't mean it 100%. Kivega suggests, well, we have a principle. You want to buy a house. Some other guy on the other side of the table, he sold his house. Well, listen, he had in mind that in case he decides not to move to California, he wants his house back. So, whatever. 90 days after you bought the house, you had the closing. Comes and knocks on your house, and he says, I'm Aaron Meltzer. I decided I'm not going to California. Get out of the house. It's mine. So you tell him, what are you talking about? We had a closing. There were lawyers there. And that's it. You gave me the keys. You signed the deed. What's going on? He says, listen, everybody knows I only gave you the house because I was moving to California. So what's the halacha? So the halacha was, if it was not eminently clear at the moment that you made the closing with them, that that was a condition of the deal, it's what we call Dorm Shevelev. It's my private considerations. They have no impact on the halacha. It better be that way, otherwise we could never conduct business. Nothing would stand. So it's mukhrach that it has to be that we can't give credence to what's in your life. So Yehuda says, if you follow those sheets, it's Tosis in the Ran, that Bittul is Hefker. So who cares what he had in his life? Hefker is a Kenyan. No different than selling something to someone else. So what's the difference? He thought, he didn't think. He was Mafker it, that's all. End of the story. If you hold like Rashi that it's Bittul nullification, if you don't mean to nullify it, nullification is a state of mind. So if I don't have the state of mind, fine, so I didn't get it. It's not a good bit. But if it's Hefker, he says, who cares what you had in your mind? So, we Bittul Chametz could accomplish most of what we need to do. But Yerushalmi says, if I only did Bittul again, it's also Bano. So we don't only want to rely on Bittul. And we're also, the Rabbanon at least obligated us, after Bittul, to do Bedikatun, to make sure there's no Chametz lying around. Now, there's a question, and to me it seems this is a shaila, it has to do with an issue. Is Bedikas Chametz, is this a human invention? Or is this a meaning that human beings, the Rabbanon created it? Or is this a Torah, is this a Din HaTorah? That is a shaila. There are Rishonim that say, in their explanation of Rashi, that Bedikas Chametz is the Raya Siddiq standard. It's also rooted in the Torah. If Bedikas Chametz has the Raya Siddiq standard, then if I did Bedikas Chametz, so who created Bedika? I created it, or the Torah created it? The Torah created it. So let's say I did it. I did a conscientious job. But I missed a piece of Chametz. I was conscientious and I went and I looked, whatever, and I'm a human being. I missed a piece of chametz. So what's the din? So the chayra, I wouldn't violate Ba'yiro Ba'yimotze. I did what the Torah told me to do. In other Rishonim, it would seem, again, there's a machlekas on this side, but if Bedika was created by the Rabbanon, so if I went and I cleaned out all the chametz and I got rid of the chametz, so, fine, I wasn't even by your role. If I forgot to look under the couch and I left the sandwich under there that my kid put there, my neighbor's kid put there, my grandchild put there, so then maybe I'm over by your role, by your motzi. Why? Listen, the Rebbe Shalom says, I told you to do Bittul. I didn't tell you to do it. You decided to do Bedika. It's your business. If you didn't do it well, what do you want from me? So what are you claiming oinus for? I didn't tell you to do this in the first place. So, does Bedika save you from being over by your rabbi, you might say? That's a shayla and rishayla, if you did just the Bedika without the Bittul. So we have Bittul, we have Bedika. Now, if we're going to assume the following, that Bedika may not save you from by your rabbi, you might say. Bittul is not going to make it mutter b'hanoi after Pesach. Now suppose after Pesach I go open up a closet and I find in the back there's a bottle of scotch I forgot about. Right? Most achrayim, other than the Shut Pnei Yeshua, say, you know, it's a chometz chayim psak, that schnapps is chometz gomel. Okay, mechiras chometz will take the makel the katzat. Mechiras chometz, even though they're a machmer, not to sell chometz gomel, that's a chumra. So as long as there's some basis that we don't have to do it, without machmer. But I found a bottle of scotch in the back of the closet. So now, well, where am I? If maybe Bedika didn't help for that, and it didn't get me even off the hook of my robot, LMI, I did Bittul. But if I did Bittul, it's still going to be Osir Bano.
Why?
What?
Why?
As the Rishalmi says, if I did Bittul Chametz, and I find Chametz after Pesach, it's Osir Bano. So maybe nothing's going to help. So we do Mechiras Chametz. Do Mechiras Chametz. Now it's another good idea to do Bittul. I'll tell you why you should do Bittul, besides everything else. It's my brother-in-law was here from Eretz Yisrael this week, so he tells me it's more than once or twice it's happened that it's been discovered that the guy wasn't a guy.
Right.
You know. You know, That they were in Bnei Brak, they found, you know, of all things. Yes, I remember this. It happened 42 years ago. I remember. I lived in Eretz Yisrael. I saw it in the newspaper. The Bnei Brak is so Jewish that the Shabbos guy was also a Yid. He was married to an Arab, and everyone thought he was an Arab, and he acted as an Arab. When he died, his wife went to the Chevra Kaddish and said, "Listen, my husband was Jewish, and he said when he dies, he wants to be buried among the Jews." So the Chevra Kaddish went and they searched, they did a real investigation. They found that it was true. He was born a Jew. Just lived his whole life with the Arabs.
Right.
But so even Lo Aleinu, even the Shabbos guy in Bnei Brak was a Yid. So, what happens if you find out that the guy's a Yid? Then what do you do? Good. So maybe after Pesach, someone at Taina, you're an Oinus. So your chametz won't be awesome. But so, but you own chametz on Pesach. So at least if you did Biddle chametz, so you're assured that even if the Mechira went awry for some reason, that you weren't over by your own by your motzi.
But it's still awesome.
God, listen, it's only, I didn't never found out that it's Osir. As far as I know, the guy was a Goy and it's Mutter. And some say that even if the guy you found him would find out, since you were an owner and he actually sold it, it still wouldn't give you a Knas in such a case. So, yeah?
But doesn't the Yid pretending to be a Goy own the Chavetz Yom Kippur?
So some want to say that's true, but some want to say that since... Someone told me that there are others that want a tiner that since the other Yid and the Ganabek were only Oinus, and it's a Mamela, they wouldn't become also for them. And whether I agree or not, that's a different story. But that's at least, whatever, it's happened that there's been such shyness in the history of the world. So, we have the following. So we try to cover ourselves on all bases. In case the Mechira didn't work for some reason. So we have Bittl. In case the Bittl didn't work, we have Mechira. And to make sure we don't need any Chametz, we have Bedikas Chametz. So in fact, we need all of them play a certain role. I always say that the Rabbonim are the strangest people in Klal Yisrael. Look at what we do before Pesach. We sell matzahs and we buy Chametz. It's the hepech of every Yid in the world. Now, the Mechira, I don't believe there's going to be a shir next week. I'm not 100% sure. All of a sudden, the next day or so, I'm not sure if there'll be a shir. I have to consider that. Shy have to have a shir next week. But the Mechiras Chometz is a very complicated story. The actuality is, the Rabbanon really, we don't buy Chometz. We merely are appointed your agent to sell the Chometz for you. But it's a very tricky sale. Because to really do it the right way, we should hire those guys to go around for the camps, in June. And come to your house, and they take your kid's luggage, and they throw it in there, and by some miracle, it actually comes out on the other side 99% of the time, and the kid gets his luggage in camp. So that's what we should really do before Pesach. Everybody backs up their chametz, come around with a truck and haul it off, to some non-Jewish warehouse, And after Yontif, Rizzuto will send it back, and they'll come around, and bring it back to your house again. But, it's a little bit logistically a little difficult to do. And that's good for you and me. Have a box of chametz. What happens to the guy that has a warehouse of pasta? What does he do? What does the guy that owns the brewery do? And what does Edgar Bronfman do? But he sells his chametz. He's a smart man. He's no fool.
Who's that?
Edgar Bronfman.
Who's that?
Menachem, that was a good one. He owns Seagram's, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, but he was always careful to sell his chametz. He didn't want prowess, and he understood what he has to do business. So, you need So the Mechiras Chometz is a very difficult process. It's beyond what I could explain to you tonight, how it works. Yeah.
You mentioned Hefker before, that you have to do Hefker. How is that going to work if it's in your house? You know, if I say something's Hefker, anybody should be able to come and get it. Right?
So I have to, if anyone wants it, I have to let them in to take
right.
it.
Do they even know about it?
So this is interesting. Tosfos raises this problem, among others, that at least one shita in the Gemara, but there are shitas that hold that you have to be mafker in front of three, in the presence of three people, anything that you mafker. So Tosfos says, how does the bittul chometz work if the bittul chometz is hefker? So Tosfos says, for the sake of allowing us to be mevatel chometz and not have problems on Pesach, they waive that rabbinic requirement. But we do have to be mafker.
But aren't we being mafker that which we didn't sell?
What?
We also being mafker what
well,
we
in case, listen, and as I said, in case the sale didn't work, and I'll give you, you know, you have to be careful. Let me end with this. You know, in all of life, the Ramchal writes, and when he talks about Mishkal Achsitas, those things that are the Fnim Ashuras Adin, so you have to be sure when you're coming to be machmer that you're not creating even a bigger kula somewhere else. That's below the horizon. So I'll give you a very simple case. And over the years, the truth is I'm becoming, in a way, less and less happy with a certain thing. There's a whole issue. What happens if you sell the reshus, what the chometz is, do you have to do bedikas chometz or not? So the Chasam Sofer holds that as long as you sold it even on Yudalit, but it's not going to be mine on Pesach, even though it was mine on Leil Yudalit, and the night of Yudalit, but as long as before Pesach, I sold it to play, I'm not mechuyev in bedikas chometz. Others want to say that since the night of the 14th, I still possessed it, so I have to do bedikas chometz. So those that want to be exempted partially, they're going to be away, and they want to be partially exempted from bedikas chometz, they come along, and they want to do a mechiras yud gimel. They want to be yoytzi chol hadayis. So they want to do the mechiras yud gimel. Very nice. And what happens if after the rov did the mechiras yud gimel, you went to the store and you bought some chometz to eat, and you didn't throw it out by mistake, right? People sometimes after Pesach they found chometz that they wanted to throw out, and it got left in the house. Still, it happens. So now what? Now what's? So now you were just talking about with your chumrah that you wanted to be yoytzi chol hadayis. So you are machmer and an yisad rabbanon to follow the shittas that are more machmer and nechsam sofer. Very nice. And what did you do instead? You violated two lavin every second of Pesach. So what did you gain or did you lose in the deal? So. That's why the mechira is an important thing. And I mean the bittul is an important thing. Because at least in the bittul, at least there's a b'di'evit backup in case we blew the mechira out, that we still have something to save us. But to say l'chatchila, I should put myself in a situation that I have to be samech on the bittul, the Shulchan Aruch is clear, I'm not supposed to do that. That's why it's also banoef to place. So this needs, one needs a careful shikul hadas. When we come to do things that are lefnim shuras hadin, that we don't wind up violating the shuras hadin somewhere else. A good nerve, Yom Tov, Rabbi Yisrael.